Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Christmas is a good excuse to be like,
no one's in town. How are you gonna make? Yeah. I have feelings.
Although, did you guys listen to Serial when it was like huge? That podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When they took like Christmas off, I was like, why did you do that?
Like, you pre-recorded everything, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, drop it. I'm at home with family. I need.
Oh,
this.
Funny.
2, 3. Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hey guys, it's Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Our podcast all about 30 Rock, Tina Fey. I know, you're great. Tina Fey, badass women, all that fun stuff. NBC stuff.
Mainly just NBC stuff.
Get
out of here, CBS.
Right. And Netflix. Ooh, too soon?
Oh, I don't know. I think just stay mad. Stay mad at Netflix.
We are recording this on October 1st.
Yeah.
I was watching.
Your post was amazing, by the way.
I was so proud of myself for that.
Kelsey made a great video of like the moment 30 Rock was left Netflix and went to Hulu. Because she like searches 30 Rock, you see it, and then she redoes it and it's gone. And we got a lot of response.
Did you see though? Because I went like a little too far. I recorded myself typing it in 3 times. And then the last time I just put sad face, sad face, sad face. And it comes up with like a My Little Ponies thing or something. It's like the funniest thing, or a Barbie thing. It was I like shouldn't have searched it 3. I should have done it once and then sad face, but lesson learned.
I like the idea that they would make like emoji searchable, like you put the sad face and it brings up like a really like heartbreaking movie like Beaches, and
right,
then you
right,
put the
right.
Eggplant emoji and it brings up some like 50 Shades of Grey or nonsense. This is a new system, Netflix. I'm copywriting it.
Right But yeah, so everyone can go to Hulu now. But yeah, I was very proud of that post. But I was literally watching the episode at like 11:45 while playing a video game. I had it. Never mind, that's, I can get into that later. But I was curious like what happened if I was watching it when midnight struck, and then I got distracted playing a video game, so I don't know.
Your priorities are very much in line.
Yep, I was slaying a giant
Japanese
salamanders.
Teenager?
No, we're on a different game at the moment to all giant right. Salamanders, I'm pretty sure at the time. Anyways.
But real quick, so yes. You're going to say the stuff because I mess it up. What's our stuff we
you
have
can
to
try.
Say?
You can try.
All right. Well, first of all, if you're listening, you haven't already, please subscribe. That's great. We really appreciate it. Hugs and kisses from us both. And if you leave a review, we send you a sticker.
We do.
In the mail, in the real mail, not the email.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
Did you? I don't know if we talked about this on episode yet, but Melanie, one of our listeners in Australia, is driving her car around with our sticker on it in
woot,
Australia
woot.
It makes me so happy. And it's next to she has a whole bunch of stickers on her car, but has like the Fancy Boy Candles, Jamie from Best of Friends podcast, like there's
I'm really it's great company.
Very honored.
That's great company to be in.
Yes.
So thank you, Melanie. Also apparently you get a shout out if you actually use the sticker well.
Yes you do.
So
yes, you do.
Just know that. Also go to boardwalkaudio.com and click on support our artists.
Nope, hang on, slash
talk 30 to me, rock to me.
Uh-huh. You're getting there.
Oh no,
if I die one day,
well, and then you just you dies with you. Kelsey, don't joke
so,
about it.
So boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me, then you click the support artist button, it'll take you to Amazon and you can buy stuff. I bought nothing on Amazon this week, but I can get into my account again, so
oh that's good. I keep thinking about buying a phone case, and then I'm like, because my phone's naked, but uh-huh. It'll happen.
Buy your phone case.
That's all I got. I almost bought a 30 Rock one, and then I was like, or do I want a Harry Potter one? It's very complicated.
The struggle.
So
we've been talking a lot, and we're not here alone. We have Miss Cassie
Jerkins.
Dang, I was like, it wasn't an N, it was an R.
It's okay.
Cassie Jerkins on our podcast right now, and she sat there very quietly while we just rambled.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. Hello, everybody.
Cassie has a podcast called Dumb Nerds.
Yes, the Dumb Nerds podcast.
The Dumb Nerds podcast.
Where funny people come on to talk about a smart topic they consider themselves to be an amateur expert in.
I love that. Ooh, so
that's
much.
A really good premise.
It's basically NPR, but for like nerdy but funny people that aren't too nerdy.
I love that so much.
What's a topic? I'm gonna get into this real quick. Sure. What is probably one of your favorite topics you guys discussed?
Well, I really liked when I recorded like just a couple days ago was on Victorian spiritualism.
Ooh, it's really unique.
Yeah, I learned so much. Like, I didn't know seances were invented during that time.
Oh, crazy.
And they were huge. Like, if you were like a good seance person, like the White House would invite you to. Yeah, what?
It was like hot-ish because I have a thing.
And Queen Victoria was like really big on it.
That's
freaking
crazy. It's so crazy. Would you just? There were like those sisters who were super into it, right? Those three who would like kick under the table.
Yeah, they were the girls that invented it, that's and crazy. They got to go to like the White House.
Yeah,
like twice, like once for Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd. Yeah, and the other one was for Pierce. His wife was like, "Come, we want to talk to our dead son." Queen Victoria was famous for like when her husband died, she was like in mourning for 40 years.
Oh, dang, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then like her too, specifically because she was in mourning for so long, affected how the people mourned. And it really changed like mourning culture and funerals and... That's crazy.
Interesting because she also established the white dress for the wedding dress. Yeah. That was her. So she.
Yeah. And she did the veil. People loved her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I didn't know the funeral thing. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And there's like a ton of death superstitions. And
who did you have on as the expert in this?
It was my friend Clark Kinez. Okay. He's my first returning guest because he came on in the beginning and talked about Greek mythology.
Oh, cool.
And killed it. And he's just like, he just knows so much. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about my favorite murder earlier. Yeah, yeah. So anything like spooky and death related, I'm like, tell me everything.
Everything about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like waiting for someone to come on to be like, I'm an expert in this like murder case or something.
Seriously. Yeah. Find somebody who's immediately associated with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
I bet you could find someone who like knows way too much about the Franklin murder house or something.
Yeah. I've been meaning to drive by that.
Every now and then
I'll read the whole story and get really spooked out and then like go to bed and forget about it.
Do you remember the house? Like, we both grew up in Orange County. Do you remember the house?
The one that you drove me to and then I freaked out and I hid in the back of your car while you played, because you played Terrified.
Yes, we played Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings.
She surprised that it. It was like a house that like someone hung themselves.
Well,
the
rumor was like this house was half burnt for years, and it was like in kind of like Anaheim Hills, like
it was
the
in a nice
area.
Yeah.
Beautiful area. And you like drove down, and we like drove past it once, and like don't pay attention to it. And then you do a U-turn at the end, and you drive past it, and you're like, okay, see there, and you can see it kind of burnt, and you can like see the one beam, and you're like, so the husband, his whole family died in the house, and then he hung himself from that beam, and it was just, and no idea what the real truth is. For all we know, someone just left a candle up.
Yeah.
But we were there, and our friend Bethany was in the front seat, and she hit play on her iPod as soon as we were there. But it was like this dark.
It was
Lord
like
Lord of the Rings,
it's
so like
the Lord Sauron.
We booked it out of there. Like, we were intentionally trying to scare Kimmy, and we all freaked out and just zoomed down the road.
Because I suddenly was like, if I see it, it comes back with me. Yeah. So I'm not going to look at it, and then it won't haunt me out of respect.
And that belief is a very Victorian belief.
I'm a very Victorian woman.
Yeah. I mean, see, the more I read about it, I'm like, I could have been a Victorian woman.
That's great.
They went to death nightclubs.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Wait, what is that?
Like, you would like wear black and you would go out and, you know, into like the seedy part of town, and there was a club that you would just talk about death the entire night, and all the tables were coffins.
Well, that's why everyone was into that tuberculosis look too, where it's like you're supposed to be no, because like people would try to look like because really cool people would have the consumption, and so you would try to look, it was fashionable to look gaunt and drawn and have very pink cheeks because that's what consumption was like. Whoa. It became a fashionable look to look like you were dying of consumption.
Oh,
which is
my goodness.
Crazy. Amazing. To me.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hi. Oh, that's a good idea. I should pay rent. This really dates what day this podcast is. First of the month,
it's
everybody.
The
it's clearly the first of the month. But okay, I'm really excited. I'm gonna go and listen to your Victorian episode. Eww. That sounds really, really good. I'm very pumped about this. But well, this is the question we always ask our guests.
Mm-hmm.
What's your meet cute with 30 Rock?
Ooh.
Were like, you guys like in college and then you were like in class and then like 30 Rock was in the corner looking all cool, and then you were just like, who's that guy? And then you checked it out and you fell in love. Like, what's your story?
I think my meet cute with 30 Rock is like, it's like that person that you're like into, but your paths always keep like crossing. Mm. You know what I mean?
This
like,
is beautiful.
It's like,
I love this.
Oh, you again, you know, like at a party and you light up and you like have a great conversation, and then it's like, well, I got to go now. And then you don't see each other for months, and then you come back and it's like, you again. I wonder if something will ever happen. I don't know. Anyways, because it wasn't until like Netflix RIP right. when I like really started
the
like
golden
watching it in chronological order, because before it was like, oh, it's on TV,
totally.
Yeah,
you catch an episode where you could.
Yeah, because my lifestyle was at that time when it was really on was like, I didn't have a TV, I was like poor college student, like, yeah. So it was like, if I was home for school, like from school, I could like catch up a couple episodes.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. So did you, so once it was on Netflix, did you just binge through it?
Most of it. I wouldn't say, I feel like it's kind of like how I am with like a lot of sitcom or like shows like Friends or whatever. It's like, I know all the characters, I can jump in at any point. And I kind of know like big events.
Okay.
And then there's probably like a few seasons that I'm like, oh yeah, I've watched that all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't know, the weird thing with like Netflix culture too is like, instead of starting at the beginning, it's like, oh, I want to start when like this actor became a regular on the show or whatever.
Interesting.
So,
that hurts my heart to do.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
always a start from the beginning, like in yeah. everything that I do.
Uh-huh.
But after
everything that she does,
everything it's
yeah.
it's a sickness. but I like the I can do that with 30 Rock now. I can do it with The West Wing, and I can do it with Friends, where if I'm suddenly like, oh, I kind of want to start watching a couple episodes of Friends, like I will jump straight into like the season that Monica and Chandler started secretly
dating. It's the best part.
Yeah, and
that
I'll watch those
one
like
of the great TV reveals.
I've like only watched that part of Friends like probably 10 times and not the rest of the
well,
show.
Well, see, my thing, I'll start there and then I'll just keep watching, and then I'll get uh-huh. to the end of it. I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't start at season one this watch. I was in season five or whatever it
yeah.
was. I have some really, really good family friends that the older daughter, she just turned 18, she was watching through Friends for the first time, and her younger sister Bethany and Becca, they were watching, she was watching with her, and I had Rebecca in the car, and Rebecca's 12.
Mm-hmm.
12. And she was telling me, I was like, so where are you guys at in Friends? And she's like, well, they're at the wedding and Rachel's pregnant. I'm like, do you know who the dad is? And she had no idea who the Aww. Dad was. I'm like, oh, this is exciting times.
It's really
no strange. Idea.
That's how it was with Jane, my roommate who is in the room right now. She was just watching Friends for the first time. And she also actually started it in the middle, which was really interesting, because then I was watching her experience it all for the first time. And she knew some of it because of pop culture, but not all of it. So
yeah.
that was delightful, Jane. You let me re-experience Friends. And I just want to thank you. For that. Thank you. Give yourself a round of applause.
Applaud yourself.
She's really upset that I pulled her into this. but yeah. No, it's really, really fun to do that. I don't know how we got here.
Just how Netflix has changed the game.
There we go.
Or streaming services.
They definitely
yeah.
have.
I mean, yeah, I've only watched like a handful of episodes of Cheers, and I'm like, I get the gist okay. of this. And I'm like,
love Cheers.
That seems like such a privileged thing to say. Like, it's like one of the best shows ever. And I'm like, I watched a few. Popped in and saw like some of the like iconic actors that came through
yeah.
the show or whatever. It's like, I get this.
Yeah. No, that's exactly.
It's just too
it
much
is
content. Privileged.
There's too much. There is so
yeah.
much good TV.
You know, mm-hmm. I've already talked, like, I've been going through all of Will and Grace. So
I knew this is what was
man,
coming.
I have. Yeah. It's killing me now that I'm in like season two of my rewatch, and I can't watch the new episodes that like just dropped.
So
this
wait,
can't
you're
or won't
committed to watching
I
all
will,
of it,
and then I will.
Which
then I'll have like seven new episodes. So I'm like kind of excited for that. Like, but it's still
killing
yeah.
me. You saying it's gonna take you only seven weeks to watch 11 seasons of Will and Grace?
No, I don't. I what
or
whatever.
10 seasons?
When I. No, sorry, that was just an
example. No, okay. I was just like, because I was like, I believe
it. And they're only
20-minute
episodes, too. It's like, they are shorter. No, it will probably take me longer than that. But I'm excited. I'm a little bit excited that I'll be able to binge the new season
yeah.
instead of having to wait. But I did notice while my Will and Grace keeps popping up on Hulu, they just put Family Matters on Hulu.
Wow.
And I'm kind of excited for that. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, my gosh. They put a lot of the Disney, what is it?
The ABC.
The ABC.
TGIF.
TGIF Friday shows. I just saw they dumped a bunch on there, which is so weird that Hulu
that was
has
such
Full
a
House.
Big deal back right. in the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Step by Step, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Full House, and Family Matters. I was not allowed to watch Sabrina.
Really?
No. That, The Simpsons, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Space Jam. Nope.
Space Jam?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I love that.
I can ask my mom when she listens to this why I wasn't allowed to watch.
I will say this. Do you know who directed Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No.
Potsy from Happy Days. That's fun for like one person listening, but they're like really happy. It's my one of my favorite fun facts about Sabrina.
Is this another... we're going to have two Happy Days references in this episode.
Oh, there should be about 20 because that's my life. Very influential show for me. But anyway, I agree with you all. There's too much content. There's so much good TV. I don't know what to do all the time.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
This is how most conversations I have end. Was like, too much TV, y'all.
Yeah.
It's too much. Black Mirror, when am I going to watch that?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I will say the one thing I am glad about too much content is I feel like growing up, it's like if you weren't watching that show, you would just be isolated from the conversation. Mm-hmm. But now because there's so much content, like it's like
nobody watches everything.
No one watches everything. So there's not like, what do you mean you're not watching Game of Thrones? Well, you can't talk to us anymore or whatever.
I think I was literally, I'm like, I feel like I'm the only person in the world who doesn't watch Game of Thrones.
I don't watch it either.
You're the minority in this room right now, Kimmy Lucas.
How ridiculous. It's so insane that I watch Game of Thrones.
But I also feel like 10 years I'll probably binge it all and be like, oh, who do I talk to about
I'm not like
show?
right, I'm like, I have not, I'm never, I'm not never watching the show.
Yeah,
but I'm forcing myself to read the first book, and I've tried three times and I can't get into it. I just have to
it's a history book, Kelsey. It's fake
which is
so
just not me
thing. And so, normally I'd say lean into the history, but this is not the moment I'd say lean into the history.
Yeah.
Kelsey doesn't like history as much. So.
It's just not my thing. But well, I'm sure eventually I will just go through Game of Thrones and
it's
be
perfect.
Like, finally.
Yeah.
Because it's
I
the
like
best
that
show.
You tried to read the book three times because I tried to watch the pilot three times.
I love that.
And I just like, it ends with like that kid getting pushed off the tower. And I'm just like, I don't.
You're all
why.
This
doesn't feel good.
Honestly.
And everyone's like, you just got to watch like.
No.
Seven more episodes.
No. Don't listen to them. You know why? Because that episode sets the tone for the entire show. So if you didn't like it, you might not like the show.
It sounds like there's a lot of like traumatizing things. Like it's kind of like with Walking Dead. Like
I can't
deadhead
hang.
For a while. But then it's like, I feel like it's just trying to upset me. Like, there is something where it's like, you're the burned lover, you keep coming back.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. 100%
like, this is
you.
Abuse.
They're like, how it felt when I like dropped off. Was like, they're like, yeah, we just ended on this cliffhanger, but you'll be back in 6 months. Bye. And then sure enough, 6 months, it was like the most watched episode on television. It's like, they know they can do that.
That's
they
horrible.
Can be a bad
right
boyfriend or
a bad boyfriend.
I mean, that's an excellent metaphor for what they do, and I feel the same about a lot. I did the same thing with Walking Dead,
but
I'm
she's
like, this
still in the abusive
me.
Relationship.
Okay,
so.
Game of Thrones. Here's what I'm talking about. Game of Thrones is. I
this
feel
is
like
an intervention.
More and then intervene with the world, Kelsey. I'm not the minority.
Step one, Kimmy Lucas. Step two, the world.
The world. No, I would totally agree with you, particularly on Walking Dead. I did the same thing. Game of Thrones, I feel like, gives you a lot of victories where you it evens out really well, which is one of the joys of the show.
That's
is
good.
There's like a weird sense of the universe correcting itself, even when it's also deeply cruel in that world.
Yeah.
So for me, there's two kinds of auteur. There's an auteur I hate, which is the one who just does not care about his audience and likes toying with them. And there's the auteur who's just like, my world is so complete. This is how it works and everything makes sense, even though it's awful. Mm-hmm. And George R. R. Martin and like Joss Whedon actually fit in that second one for me.
Yeah.
Because Joss Whedon will do things. I'm like, this is cruel. But I'm like, damn it, it makes sense in this world.
Yeah.
That's what happens, what has to happen.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I could not do Walking Dead. well, but don't watch Game of Thrones. If that first episode kills you, don't do it. it's not going to get better.
No, it doesn't.
It's just
going like
to get bigger.
It. Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that show. But. Well, we should do our
30-30.
When we do an explanation, we need to remember to explain that.
That
to
we
people
do this awkward
every
transition
time.
Every
it's so
single
weird.
Time.
Why do we do it? Anyway.
So you're doing our 30-30 today.
Yes, guys. Oh, my God. Great News is back. Mm-hmm. And guess who's on Great News this season?
Rumor has it.
Tina Fey has an arc on Great News this
what?
Season. I'm a Great News fan. I think it's a really cute, funny show. I think it works really well. I think the joke writing is pretty sharp. And I'm really excited to see how it grows. Mm-hmm. I think it's got room to grow in interesting ways. And Brigha Helin is my favorite. She's the female Ben Feldman for NBC, where she's their star. They keep trying to place places.
Yeah.
And this fits her really well.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, Tina Fey plays like the new boss for like the news team.
Did you watch the first episode?
I did watch the first episode. And it's really good and she's really interesting.
Good.
Ooh.
She's pretty much playing a contemporary to Jack Donaghy.
That's what somebody said, that like Jack Donaghy would be so proud. That's what I kept seeing online.
Because she does the ridiculous power lady stuff in the way that he did the ridiculous power dude stuff, and it works really well. But she's doing much more Sheryl Sandberg type thing when he was doing a much more of a Jack Welch type thing. Like they're commenting on these powerful figures, but she is a Jack Donaghy, and without spoiling for people in this first episode, Brigha Helan's character is trying to get Tina Fey's character to mentor her. She's trying really hard to get her to mentor her, and to like tell her what to do. And though it's interesting, in 30 Rock it was the other way. Jack was pursuing Liz. This is the Liz character is pursuing the Jack character, and the Jack character, Tina Fey, is not into it as much.
Wow.
It's really great, but I was so fascinated by her taking this role.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it makes sense because Tracy and Wickfield would have written, I mean, she wrote in 30 Rock, so she would have written a Jack Donaghy role, and I think it makes a lot of sense to Tina Fey, who played against this character, to want it to be this character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they say any Jack? I'm curious if like they'll have her say any Jack lines.
I mean, they don't say specific like, Jack lines, but she says a lot of interesting stuff.
Good God, whatever. What's her name and what's the main chick's name?
I don't remember. I know everyone by their actual name. So Andrea Martin is also a favorite of mine on the show.
Good God, Andrea. Like, I think that'd be just the funniest thing if they just slip that in
just
there.
I wouldn't be
sure
shocked.
Sure they will. Yeah.
Those worlds are connected. You've heard my theories.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really intrigued to see how they take it, because I think they are going to go more Sheryl Sandberg than like classic American tycoon. They're going to go with this like new leader. But she plays it really well. I think it's super funny. I'm very excited to see where it goes. But I was just really intrigued what a Jack Donaghy move it was.
I like it.
So that's my 30-30.
I forgot that came out this week. I don't remember if I watched the last episode of the first season, but I need to.
It was a good one. I love the show. I think it's really charming. So very happy. Superstore came back too, so I'm just a happy camper.
And Good Place too.
And yes, The Good Place came back, and then Nathan For You came back. So it was a real good week for me last
week. What was the last one?
Nathan For You?
I've never even heard of that.
Oh, it's a Comedy Central show. It's probably one of the best shows on television right now.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. It's brilliant.
Interesting.
It's Comedy Central, so a lot of people have harder access. But I can't. If anyone takes anything away from this podcast, it's watch Nathan For You. Not watch 30 Rock. Watch Nathan For You.
That's the goal.
My next podcast, Nathan For Me.
Right.
Anyway, thank you for listening, guys. That's my 30-30.
I love it. You had something, Cassie.
Oh, yeah. I got to see Jack McBrayer perform with Lennon Parham for like a hurricane relief fundraiser. Aww.
So where was this? Why did I miss this? Like, where can I find these sort of like walk me through what happened?
I think it wasn't advertised as much as I think the showrunners had hoped, because it was in the Inner Sanctum.
It was in the Inner Sanctum
it
too?
It was like Friday night at 9:30.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I was at Phenomena. That just breaks my heart in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
They're both playing House is one of my favorite shows.
Right. Yeah. And it's like looking at the lineup, it was like, this is going to be packed. And it was like so intimate. And like, I don't know. It was something really cool to like seeing these like amazing improvisers perform for like maybe like 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
But in that like this huge room that makes it feel like there's only like 10 people sometimes.
Oh, how weird. Yeah.
Dang.
So it's like, because you know, it's like if you go to like Facebook or something at Franklin with the lights and everything, it feels like boom show, we're on top of like the performers. But this was like more laid back, and like I don't know, it just had like a different feel to it, but it was like super special.
I find the Inner Sanctum has created a really unique space. Like in all of UCB, because Franklin is such a special space. Like,
yeah,
there's just
yeah.
something really magical about UCB Franklin. Every show is just wonderful and feels full. And UCB Sunset is really cool and really beautiful. But I think the special thing that I've heard, and I haven't even experienced the Inner Sanctum show, but the way people talk about the Inner Sanctum reminds me of how people talk about UCB Franklin, the main room. Like there's something very special about like performances in that space, I've heard from people. So.
I think the thing that I love the most about it is most people that perform in that space are like these really passionate like students, like up and comers, you know? So it's like maybe it's not the best, but the fact that like they feel so strongly to this art form, and they're like wanting to get better and serve it. And then like, and then you do see moments where it's like, oh, or like a couple years later you're like, I saw that person like grinding it, and now they're so great. And and then like because so many shows are like student produced, like some really great experimental theater like happens in there. That's
awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like this new show just got a write up It's called like the Jimmy Fallopian Tube Show.
Okay.
And it's basically a late night show written entirely by women, because in late night television,
it's all men.
It's all men. Mm-hmm. And it's like just creates like such a great safe space. And like they're getting like the only few female like writers for late night to come in and like talk and like be a part of the show. And it's
I'll check that out. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jimmy Fallopian.
And that's then amazing. And it's like open submissions. So they're always like, please come write. Like, and yeah, it's amazing. And
that's
it's
really,
like,
really cool.
It's such a cool idea. And like it got like a write up on some, I forget who did the write-up, but it was like really
Comedy
like,
Bureau, Split Side, or one of those kind of things.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. being like, hey, look what's happening. Like,
this is, go see this.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the write-up for me.
Yeah.
Because now I know about it. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's just like really special shows have like come out of it. So
that's
yeah.
That's awesome.
I think, yeah, definitely years from now, people will be like, the inner sanctum.
Oh my gosh. No, yeah. It's been really funny because I remember when the venue opened and it takes a while for a venue to find its own voice and what it does. And that's what's really popped out for me. So
awesome.
That's really cool. That's cool. I'm going to keep an eye on the inner sanctum then, because apparently Jack McBrayer just performs.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. They did like a 20-minute set and then they stayed and like watched like storytellers and other student improvisers.
Supporting.
Like, it's really cool. Yeah.
I love Lennon Parham so much.
Gosh. I'm obsessed.
Lady hero. Why did I even say lady? Just hero.
Yeah.
I know what I did.
Can I? Last night I was on the phone. I work in IT, so I got a call from somebody who's having issues, and she kept calling me. I was dying. She kept calling me her Shiro. I was like, I'm really okay being called a hero. Yeah. Also, all I did was reset your password. she called me a Shiro like 4 times. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I was like in tears. It was great. A
That's
Shiro.
Fascinating. I've never heard that before.
It sounds like a weird. It's not a thing. Shiro.
It sounds like a weird sandwich.
Like also, it. Hero like isn't like hero,
right?
Or
like
hero.
I get like the hero. History, her story. Like heroine. I roll my eyes at it, but like at least the word his is like. I still don't love it, but I kind. But like hero,
yeah.
Like hearing, no shearing. Like that's not a.
It's the, yeah. It's not a word that. Is too extremely gendered.
No, yeah, not at all.
Good try, lady. Good try. Yeah. We appreciate
it. It was
the
very
heart.
Sweet. Yeah.
We appreciate the heart of it.
I don't I hope she doesn't listen to this. She probably doesn't.
Oh, God.
I'm like,
she has
sorry.
Your sticker on her car. I know.
She's crossing it out.
She's like, dead to me.
Yeah. Rotting cheese. Like, yeah, she's.
Cassie, you're my favorite person. That was amazing. Oh my God. All right, should we get into this episode?
Let's talk about this episode. So the episode we're talking about right now is season 4, episode 2, Into the Crevasse, or Crevasse, depending on who you are. Air date was October 22nd, 2009. Director was Beth McCarthy Miller, and writer was Robert Carlock. We like them a lot.
That makes sense because this is one of the best episodes I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. I wrote 3 pages so worth of notes, which is because the next episode I like, but I didn't write as much. And then this one, I was just like so many thoughts.
AV Club did not like this episode.
They were wrong.
My recap for this is that Jenna is dealing with the emotions of the possibility of a new cast member. Jack is dealing with the corruption in business, which brings back his nemesis. And Liz is dealing with the fallout of That's a Deal Breaker.
That's a deal breaker, ladies.
So good.
I find here's what I think. AV Club doesn't like the episode. So this show does a lot of setting up plot lines, and then you have an episode setting up, and then one or two working out a plot line, right? Mm-hmm. They do that. They do like little 3-episode arcs, right? Yeah. This Deal Breakers one is more like a 5 or 6, but it's dealing with the ramifications of the first episode before it leads into how everything is going to progress, right?
Yeah.
They do that a lot, and I find AV Club does not like those episodes that are tying up loose ends, or they're like
that. They might like it better if you looked at all 5 episodes together versus then
they
the
seem
individual.
To like. I find they like the standalones,
yeah,
and I find they like the big show-stopping episodes. These ones that are just moving everything along in a really interesting. And for me, I love this episode. It's very interesting. I find they do not respond to very well. Mm-hmm. So just, I'm watching you, AV Club. I see what you're doing. So
this episode had just a really fun opening scene that I loved.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm gonna go on the cigarette diet. What do you think?
Yeah,
Dr.
I know.
Leo Dr. Spichemin says it's life-changing.
Okay, but you saw, did you see what the other book was that you passed by?
From Peanut to President.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We passed up twice in the 2 episodes.
I know, which is Milton Greene's book, which mm-hmm. I just think is hilarious.
And then did you recognize who was in the store window?
Oh, I wrote, it's the asshole dentist from Parks and Rec. Yeah.
John Glazer.
It's Jam. Yep. Yeah, and then it's John Glazer.
It's John Glazer. Yeah, I was really, I forgot that was him.
Me too. I was just like, I don't remember his name. I was playing video games.
Yeah, he was definitely like, you're like, I've seen him in everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah, and I knew you would know instantly.
He had a true TV show. John Hodgman. I'm a big John Hodgman fan, and John Hodgman's a big fan of John Glazer. So I know who John Glazer is.
I liked that I was reading, like, I, like, paused on the screen, like, when he, when Mike held the book up to the window. And you can't see, read all of it, cuts fuzzy, but there's this one paragraph that's like, he has a job he's passionate about. The chances that he will stalk you when you break up lessons. A busy man doesn't have the time or patience to figure out that the password to your email is awesomesexylady09. The flip side is that if you do date a guy with a good job, he can hire a professional. And then it cuts off. You can't see what else is on the screen.
But so great. I love, like, detail. I think that's honestly what makes a show great.
Oh,
like,
totally.
When you do this stuff that's like, no one will see this. But some do.
I saw it.
Amazing.
It just made me think of the giant cutout of Liz is one of my favorite things in the entire world. And several years ago, which is this the episode with, this is the werewolf episode, right?
Yes. Or,
okay. So it just made me think with Twilight. So like when Twilight came out, my, for some, somehow I ended up with a half size, top half body of Taylor Lautner. It just happened. And then my little sister ended up with a full size Taylor and a full size Bieber, like Justin Bieber. Uh-huh. We had these giant cutouts in our living room at my house for years.
I remember
years.
This and it terrifies me because he was under 18 when you got those. Because I remember people celebrated his 18th birthday, which is disgusting.
Okay. I only had the, that's like, I only had the top half of his body. But so,
that's not comforting, Kelsey. No,
it's not. It's not. But I, my sister had these giant cutouts. But I just remember at Christmas time, like they were as tall as our Christmas tree. And coming home one day and my dad had been home alone and he had like turned them around. So he didn't have to like see them, but they're like full size. You'd walk in the house and you just see the shadow of a man, and it was terrifying. And then we had the Bieber was in my bedroom at one point for some reason, and I, or maybe I stole it from Jenna, and I intentionally stuck it against my window between my blinds and the window so that when the lawn men went by in the morning, they would just see Justin Bieber's head popping out. But that's what I think of when I saw the giant Tina Fey cutout.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
What a journey we just went on.
Sorry. I was like, when I saw the cutout, I'm like, I have stories about cutouts.
You did. And I know the worst part is I remember these cutouts very vividly, Kelsey.
I have a picture of Ben holding up the Taylor Lautner. Anyway, so that's all just in the opening thing. So
it's one of the, you get one of the best gifts for 30 Rock out of this. Blammo! Another successful interaction with a man. Which I saw someone send former guest Caitlin recently on her Facebook because she had like a funny story from a comedy club.
Oh my goodness.
So I was really excited to see this pop up. I love this moment.
There were a lot of like Lemon, It's Wednesday, like that pops up in this episode.
God, that
the
line.
Ones that you you see pop what up as gifts constantly. What a week. Lemon, It's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about the Jenna storyline. So
I've been to Iceland. That's what Iceland looks like. this is the expertise I bring to the table, guys. As someone who's been to Iceland. That's what it looks like.
Well, I was laughing. I was like, oh, like it's cheap to get there now. It's cheap to get there then.
I don't know, man. I remember watching this and being like, who goes to Iceland? And now it's like,
that's legit what I thought too. And I'm like, now everybody.
Oh yeah, it's like the place
Iceland.
To go.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. So no, it was really that. I love seeing. Yeah, I was talking with someone about how the show was that last time we were actually talking about how the show ages. Because the jokes are
so of the time.
We get so many jokes in this episode that
like,
are very
will
much,
it be as funny 20 years from now?
Well, yeah, well, particularly because a lot of people won't remember when all the big companies were being bought, were getting big checks from the government, you know, buyouts and all that. And one of those other things was, will everyone remember the vampire craze of the early aughts and early and late aughts?
Yeah, I didn't even put the Twilight connection.
Yeah, until she said
just,
it.
Like, no, like, I was just she's like in a student film about a werewolf. Like, I think maybe in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, this might have been near.
Twilight and True Blood both came out in 2008.
Got it.
So, and this was 2010. This was 2009. So, yeah, just a couple of months later.
And What We Do in the Shadows came out in 2015. So
I don't know what that is.
It's Kim, my favorite dying movie, Kelsey. It's in my top five. It's by Taika Waititi.
I've never heard you mention that.
Oh my god, no. Ever. Like, I have more stories, but not for this. Anyway, we'll come to everyone watch What We Do in the Shadows. I'm bringing it up because it was written in the mid-aughts, and then they didn't make it in 2015. So then this random mockumentary about vampires from New Zealand came out in 2015. Everyone was like, what? And then it's a perfect movie, but we'll move on. I love that we get the director again. I like that they just were like, this guy directs everything on the show.
That's
what
so
else
funny.
Did he direct? This little guy is the director of Garfield 3, Feline Groovy.
He's the director commercial to the make.
He's
the,
also the director. Okay. I know all little white dudes look the same to you, Kelsey.
They do. All right, sorry.
He also has that like racial profiling. He's wearing like the classic like baseball hat that a director
the Ron, I the Ron Howard, Howard yep,
yeah the yep. Ron Howard Steven Spielberg yep which is so funny that we have this very specific idea of directors now from those two dudes yeah. But I really liked getting him back in there. I think he's up there with Josh Fadem's agent character. I just love seeing him every
yeah,
time.
Oh, awesome.
Him. I love Josh Fadem on this
so
show
good.
So funny. But that's pretty much all I had about this plot line. It was pretty other than mercury poisoning,
yeah,
from, testing her rectum.
Right, I just love that she let Liz assume that Jenna was like, "Oh, you're still going to make this difficult for me," and she's like, "No, I actually have mercury poisoning."
Oh no, that's not what I read that as.
Oh
Kels.
Really?
No, that's her just being difficult still. Because who gets mercury poisoning from testing their like it's fake.
I can see Jenna having done
all right,
something
Cassie.
Wrong.
Why don't you? What do you think? Be the deal breaker on this one.
I did perceive it as fake.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. All right.
Just because, like, yeah, the whole time she was just like, just earnestly, like, being like very like smiley and
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah.
And then being like, "But fuck you," is like the subtext the whole time. So I just took it as like, again, like,
can you get mercury?
No, because the mercury is on the inside of the.
But what if she broke it?
In her rectum?
It's Jenna.
Oh my gosh. No. I would say I put
from
a lot of money on this.
Broken thermometer. Can you get it?
All right. The government is very intrigued by your Google searches right now.
Mercury is not absorbed through intact skin or from a healthy digestive tract. There is no way she has a healthy digestive tract.
Oh my god, Cassie.
Okay, I won't read this.
No, this is just, it's scary. This is one of our deepest dives. How realistic is this thing that Jenna's going through? None of them are.
I think just because like we've learned a lot in this rewatch that Jenna does have genuine moments.
Yeah, this is not one of them though.
I interpret it as a genuine moment.
I respect that. I respect that and I respect you and your ideas, but.
But I'm wrong.
But that's really all I got. I don't know. I didn't have any other notes on this. I thought this was fine. It was just kind of a filler. It was like a cute moment for Liz to deal with it.
Yeah. It was just like, all right, Jenna's in Iceland.
That's all I got. We should talk about
the Jack
story. This is my favorite storyline. I like this
so cute
so much. Oh my gosh.
Do you want to talk about it?
I just love how the show often starts with Jack and Liz together and then it breaks off into their storylines. Because almost always dealing with very different things, but you always get them together. And then
they end together too a lot of the time.
And they end together. They all comes together. But I really love that his quote on the back of her book is, "Lemon numbers among my employees."
And I love that when he's reading it, she's mouthing what he's saying. Like, she's so proud of it as well. Like, I'm going to mouth it. You can't tell I'm mouthing it because this is a podcast, mm-hmm. but I'm mouthing just like Liz did.
Visual jokes. I think I just love anytime Devin, again, this is a very topical joke. This is dealing with all the buyouts that are happening with the car companies.
Yeah.
This was answering something that had been happening throughout the summer of that year that I remember a little bit.
Yeah.
What also
the buyout.
Very relevant right now is that, using the company helicopters to dry their home tennis courts, which what people using like government or big like topical. But I did love the idea that that's what they use the helicopters for drying their home tennis courts. And his response. So I love that. Yeah. So Banks is interviewing Jack. I love the whole thing with a gavel. This isn't Congress, but he's asking him all these things. And I love Jack's like, yes and no. Yes, that did happen. No, it did not happen. And then when he calls out the fact that they threw a cabaret themed Halloween party on Fire Island and it's Banks talking to Jack about it. And he's like, if I recall correctly, that was you. Like, come on, Banks. He's like, well, whatever. I really liked that a lot.
Well, and I remember very much they advertised the joke in the trailers for the new season. I remember the ads, the running joke that Devin is good friends with Sasha and Malia Obama.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah.
Kevin Estes has to come to the party. Right. I find that really funny. I don't know why. I just find it very funny.
I just love Will Arnett on the bed with like his legs kicking behind. Yeah. Him. Oh my gosh, Malia. Like, oh my gosh. I love it. Let's text him right now.
He's just one of the funniest people on this planet.
Will Arnett's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Every time he shows up, I just write Banks or Will Arnett.
That's cute because I just write Devin. Really big.
I also love that he was like, so Banks explained like the whole reason I took this gig is to like bring you down basically. Yeah. And I could have had an ambassadorship to any country, even the gayest country, Ireland. And Jack's offense at that because he's a black Irish bastard, right? Like he's so offended that he would call Ireland the gayest country. I just love that so much. And then the gun sounds, the laser. I've gotten made fun of many times in my life for making different gun sounds. So I appreciated him getting kind of called out on that a lot.
They just vibe with each other in such fascinating ways.
Yeah. Because
I love a good nemesis on a show or a good foil should really have very similar origins or similar, like have something very similar.
Yeah.
To you, I think.
Yeah.
So they, because I love it because in the end they really understand each other in a way that no one else does, which is why it always ends up super gay. Whispering at each other. Yeah. But I just really love this. Jack is such a great character because he pairs, you can always say something so interesting about culture because of his power. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put him with Elisa, you know, It's about white wealth versus, you know, like a people coming to America and trying to make it for themselves and dealing with poverty. Or you put him with Liz and it's conservatives versus liberals. And you put him with Devin and it's just this fascinating like business versus politics versus like, I don't know. I just
sexual
find
tension.
So
much tension.
Oh my gosh. I'm always really into it too. And I'm like, yeah, keep talking.
I also loved his thing where Jack is talking about like what the headlines would say. Donaghy saves GE, comma, marries your mom.
Stupid.
Oh, you guys are high school boys.
Yeah, you dummies.
Did you guys see Jimmy Kimmel did a new Celebrities Read Mean Tweets about themselves?
No. Mm-hmm.
It ended, I was very excited, it ended on Kumail Nanjiani. And they say basically, he reads the mean tweet. I'm just going to ruin it for you guys. Very sorry. But he reads it. It's basically someone says, Kumail, how many colors is Kumail Nanjiani's dick? And he responds with, all the colors of your mom's lipstick.
Oh!
And it's one of the best. It ends. It ends on him. He closes out like, I mean, Lithgow's on it, Gal Gadot's on it, and they end on Kumail because it's such a great burn.
Damn.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta watch that.
I said he's hosting SNL soon.
I know. When this comes out, it'll have already happened.
I'm so excited for him.
Right?
I think that's how everyone who works in LA and in comedy feels. Because I think everyone just loves him because everyone went to the meltdown.
He's so great.
He's so great. And it's just like, this is so exciting.
It is exciting.
But I just loved that burn. And that's what I thought of when he made that your mom joke. I was like, that's so the best good. Your mom joke I've heard in a very long time.
That's well done, Kumail. Yeah.
It's the real deal now. He's hosting SNL. That's so crazy. That's so
it's insane. Amazing. Moving on. I love it.
On the Jack storyline, it kind of intermingles with the Liz stuff. But when he's talking about the whole, like, go into the crevasse, right? He tells this story about ice hiking and he went down and whatever. Connie Chung cut the rope. The only thing that it made me laugh is that in the episode in season 3 where, like, Jack finally breaks up with Elisa, he gives a very specific example of his fear because he finds it like, oh, she'd kill me if I cheated on her. He gives a very specific example of what happens if I'm in an ice cave and it's cold and there's a person there and we take off our
clothes.
I was laughing. I'm like, oh, he's had an experience in an ice cave, so that might have been almost like a triggering thing for him. It's just kind of what made me laugh. Oh, he's gone ice hiking before, and that's why he thought of the ice cave many
apparently
many
Connie
before.
Chung is not a comely geologist.
No
though.
She is not. And then this is his storyline has this whole, because they're trying, how are we going to raise money? How are we going to raise profiles for
microwaves? We're
going
to sell a lot of microwaves.
So they're building a new microwave.
So stupid.
Which this is now the second time that we've seen them try and like redo a microwave because there's the Micromate, right? Or the Bite the Nuker, whatever, from
Bite Nuker.
Episodes and episodes before.
Exactly. And Ham Button.
Yes.
So he's always working on the microwaves.
Always. Because he hasn't had microwaves taken away from him.
They're really leaning into the Kenneth they're really leaning into the like, oh, interesting, what's going on with Kenneth vibe.
Yeah.
We see, did you guys notice where Kenneth pops up intriguingly in this episode?
Yes.
Did you see it?
Wait. That's not this one, my dear. That's the next episode.
The microwave? Where they're doing the microwave dance? Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Stone Mountain.
Oh, girl. I know what episode I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm doing so many fake hair motions. That's just for you two.
Right.
No, he's in. First of all, the band looked like Rooney to me. It wasn't. But that guy had Jason Schwartzman eyebrows. No, Robert Schwartzman eyebrows.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I was getting major Rooney vibes. That's not interesting. I just felt like it was worth saying. But no, they have the bands do the microwave. And Kenneth is in the audience dancing.
Oh, see, I was looking at the band. I didn't look at the actual. That's good.
That's
nicely done.
Oh,
good
no. That, I remember that was the beginning of me understanding when I first watched the show that something was up with Kenneth. Because I was watching it and I was like, why is Kenneth dancing?
Oh, how funny. My eyes just always find
Jack McBrayer, guys. This works for me.
I mean, yeah.
He smiles so much.
Yeah.
It's natural. Yeah. No, it is. The microwave is my favorite part.
That was so stupid.
That's really
I loved it. I was like, this is so dumb. And also, like, yeah, as a person in LA, it's like, they built that set. They wrote that jingle. they shot this for like a 5-second clip.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, so much on this show. I love it so much. Yeah.
They do the Family Guy flashbacks, but they actually have to build them.
Yeah.
Right, instead
and
of
they're
them.
Good.
Yeah. Like that episode where Liz is dating Dennis and she's like the little girl with the match. They created an entire winter set and then put snow on it and filmed this like 2-second thing of her with the match.
Oh, that's
going
right.
Out.
The matchless girl.
I know. It's fabulous. The amount of money they put in those weird flashbacks. I also admire. I'm glad you know.
But do you think that helps a little? Well, I guess all sitcoms are like that, but like they predominantly have four different sets. They have Jack's office, like the writer's room, and Liz's office. Liz, like, they're not having to rebuild new sets constantly. They just have I guess most shows are like that. Now I'm thinking about that. Never mind. Bad example.
And honestly, they have the soundstage. They have all these dumb, it's a dumb papers thing, like that they would use back on TGS. It wasn't that much, but it's just really funny to me. They haven't ever put into a one moment joke. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I think, says a lot about the show. The show values its jokes. That's its heart and its jokes are equal.
So that's what the AV Club guy, I think it was in this article for this one, he was saying that he felt that the jokes were slower in this episode than they were in seasons 1 and 2.
I don't know. What do you think?
I like the jokes.
I think they were great jokes.
I can't remember if I was just I was trying to remember if I thought that there were less of them.
That's so weird, because when I think 30 Rock, I think it's like a writer's show.
It's
a joke show, you know. It's like, yeah, the ideas and everything are so funny, and then you get these like great characters.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of jokes. I just would say there's a lot of plot jokes, like the Devin and Malia. It's not a joke. It's not him just saying something. It's a visual gag. It's a plot thing. There's a lot of plot jokes in this one, maybe when they're not as many normally.
That's what he, at one point, I can't remember. He didn't like the next episode.
I'm going to take this guy on.
Right. Like, come on. And he
come
made a
me, bro.
He like made some joke. I mean, it might've been for the next episode where he was like, and yes, there's another C plot. And he's like, instead of, you know, digging into more character development, like he was annoyed that there was like a kind of like a lame C plot rather than spending more time on A and B plot and really digging into the characters.
Interesting.
But, you know, maybe he's a guy who really likes digging into characters.
Apparently,
you know?
That's his hill to die on.
I appreciate your openness to this man, because I'm like, I'm shutting him out
you're
very
like,
quickly.
Die.
But you're
well, I just think there's like so many different types of shows, you know, like it's like you want character development, like maybe you like go to Parks and Rec or something. Like, I think that's more of a character heavy show, where 30 Rock is a little bit more like heady, which I think is fun, because then it's like, what's up with Kenneth? Like, there's like these Easter eggs that are like clearly it's a writer's show.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So this guy,
Have your opinion, just know we disagree strongly.
Just know that it's wrong.
Oh my goodness. Well, I just want to end. I think the Jack storyline gets pretty simple. He ends up, he goes into the crevasse and he defeats Devin by making Devin his boss.
Yes.
And by taking the bailout, not buyout, bailout. That's what they were called.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God, the bailout.
Record, start over.
Refinish it.
Yep.
This one, get a new Earth. This one's over. But I have very vivid memories of watching this live and loving the Pontiac Aztec joke. I don't know why. I think it's because I find humor and specificity. That's a very specific joke.
Okay, did you have an opinion on the Pontiac Aztec?
I didn't know what that car was.
Oh, it's the ugliest car. Do you know what it is now?
I mean, I know that it looks like this microwave.
It's the car that the big deal about it was that you could open the back back and it was like you were in a tent. Like it was for the person camping. The whole thing was that. And like legit on Survivor that season, I went through this whole Survivor binge a long time ago, but I watched this season live. And that was like the car they won was the Aztec. And my mom, I grew up driving a PT Cruiser. That was just the car we had. And my mom, when she got her PT Cruiser, was on like PT Cruiser forums and that sort of thing.
I remember
everyone loved PT Cruisers.
We just got rid of it like a year ago. And it was like a very traumatic, like, that's the car all three of us girls learned to drive on. Aww. Like my mom's first brand new car, she got it with 7 miles on sort of thing. But on the forums, like nobody liked the Aztec and they all kept calling it the Aztec.
Stupid.
Like, it's just like, that's what I associate the Pontiac
sick
Aztec
burn,
with.
Guys.
But yeah, it is like the ugliest car ever. Sorry, those of you who might still be driving it around. But yeah, so that to me was funny because I was like, I had an opinion about the Aztecs. So I'm like, oh, you made the microwave into an Aztec? Like, ugh, like that was a thing.
Oh, I didn't know you could make microwaves worse, but you can.
You did it. Good job.
I literally was like, ha, the car's boxy like a microwave. I also just love like semi-tired drunk Jack. He's like, guys, I've been up 55 hours, but I think it's a good idea. Yes. Let's replace the heater or whatever, the oven.
So stupid.
Oh, I don't know. I just think it's very funny. And it's a nice commentary on American ingenuity.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The final storyline.
Let's talk about the deal breaker, ladies.
Deal breakers.
Mm-hmm.
So Liz, she wrote this sketch forever ago. Now there's a book on it, all these things. And every male in her life is so frustrated at her.
Yeah.
Because they all think that she is taking parts of their life, which she is, making their wives and significant others so pissed off. I mean, like, starting with Frank, which this is funny to me because he met a girl in the park. He was practicing Jedi moves, had her ride on his bike handlebar, snuck her past his mom to look at his mint condition Hellboy figurines. So first of all, though, Liz loves Star Wars. There's no way she would write something negative about somebody trying to be a Jedi in the park in that book. I'm just saying, Liz loves Star Wars.
All right, continue.
She does.
No, I'm not arguing with you. Anyway, continue.
She sold out. She said, I'm like, too cool for Star Wars.
No, don't say that. That's just sacrilege.
But then I was laughing to it. Listen, like, I get it. Like, okay, this grown-ass man loves his mom. Like, yeah, that's a deal. Like,
his mom is Patti LuPone, so I'm fine with it.
Fair enough. But if you like Star Wars, you might be intrigued by a guy in the park doing Jedi stuff. And
is that what you like, Kelsey? You're like,
I mean,
ooh,
that's a different podcast.
Man is wearing, man knows his way around a lightsaber.
Being a nerdy boy, like, come on now. Or like Hellboy figure, like if you're into like figurines and acting, like that would be a fun thing for you. Like,
yeah,
I think that is a very elitist opinion of her to say like that part's a deal breaker. The sneaking past your mom, the handlebars, a new guy, like that, if that implies he doesn't have, which in LA that's different, but like I did not fully agree with that deal breaker. I'm just saying.
Well, hers are very complicated. Some of them are. I actually thought if you're a man with a job with a name tag, that's a deal breaker.
But what if you're a doctor?
That's so funny.
True. I was very funny. Poor John Glazer/Mike.
I know. Also, not you, Mike.
Yeah.
I know. This is where I get too literal on the show. I was like, that's kind of mean.
I know.
He's just trying to pay his bills whatever way he can. Maybe he was in business school and decided he didn't like it. He's trying to figure. This is just Superstore's plotline now. I really like Superstore right now. Yeah. It's very strange. I have a big crush on Colton Dunn.
Oh yeah, he's great.
Oh, let me get you. Tracy.
But yeah,
thank you. Confirming my crush.
Tracy being upset with Liz as well.
If you have seven cell phones and if he has seven cell phones and you don't have any of the numbers, that's a deal breaker.
And I just loved his line: "A book hasn't caused me this much trouble since Where's Waldo went to that barber pole factory."
So stupid. I love it.
And so then I googled like Where's Waldo barbershop just to kind of see, and like of course it didn't exist, but it now like everybody has made the Photoshop of the poles and Where's Waldo, and that's just such a thing now.
That's so funny. That's such a dumb joke. I like it. So, but they give him the dumbest jokes and he works them so well.
Yeah.
Oh, so well. And then Pete gets all annoyed too, which I don't think he says what about the book he didn't like, but he pushes Liz very awkwardly.
I know. I was really intrigued by that push. He pushes her flat on the chest.
Like not like at the, like borderline like grabs her boob. Like it just, it's so awkward. I watched it twice because I went, did I really just see that?
But it also, what it feels like a big brother, little
he's
brother
dude.
Move.
Yeah.
It's like what you would do, a guy would do to another guy. It's just weird because she has boobs. It's like he's right on them into a wall.
I wonder if Scott adds that just like his hand was misplaced
also,
or something.
Like, that would hurt. Like that's right? What I would thought. I was like, ow.
It was female problems. Mm-hmm. that was very, very bizarre. But so then because of this, Tracy is now moving in with Liz.
That was very funny.
Exactly. We get one of my favorite lines. He goes, I can't go to my other house or my houseboat I cannot find. and then it's like, put the reef shark in a bath with a reef. And then I just love the visual gag of a bag with something moving
in it. I loved it.
It's such a good addition.
Yeah. It's like, who thought of that?
Right. It's such a classic thing with the show where you could just have them say like, oh, in the hallway, I've got a reef shark. You could just show her kind of looking into it. But they actually include like just that they allow for that moment with the bag kicking. Oh, God. It's so funny.
I did know on here that scene, it goes straight from Devin banging the gavel straight into the door knocking. It was like a nice little
touch. Love a good edit. I thought you'd appreciate me actually noticing. What's your noticing that? Directorial I choices, never noticed that. Kelsey.
Also, Tracy has a gold silk pillowcase, which he just loves gold, and I wanted that pillowcase.
He's a fancy man.
He is.
He's a fancy man.
I
like when Jack calls Liz and Tracy's residence. Tracy speaking, and he's like, "Tracy, put lemon on." Like he just what never did I love was like,
"It's Jenna from work." Like, the other Jenna in our life.
Basically, Tracy would be a fascinating assistant, is what we gather.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
But I think that's just my favorite thing about Jack. Sometimes he's really indignant to like Liz's life choices, and half the time he just doesn't care. Yeah, like with like I heard night cheese lemon. From the other week and then this one where he's just like put lemon on. He just knows that her life is chaos.
Like of course Tracy's at your house at midnight. Yeah. Of course. This is also and then you get the whole so Tracy hadn't actually read the book yet. So then later on he's reading the book and you get the whole do you want to talk about the elephant in the room? No, I don't even know why it's here. It's
yeah, there's the elephant.
And I just every time I love Tracy in glasses so much. So whenever he's got his little reading glasses on, it just makes my heart so happy. and then she's on the phone with she must be on the phone with Jenna because then she makes some joke about Michael Jackson's Thriller video too soon. Rip Michael Jackson.
Oh, is that why he said too soon? I was like, Thriller came out a long time ago.
I know, guys. Right?
Everybody calm down.
No, I'm pretty sure because this was in 2009.
And he died in. Yeah, because I was on Sunset Boulevard with my cousin walking and we walked into Amoeba Records. And something happened. The guy's like, I'm pretty sad today. And I'm like, why? Because I knew Farrah Fawcett had died. And he was like, Michael Jackson just died. And people were stopping each other in the street on Sunset Boulevard. Did you hear? Michael Jackson died. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. He just died June 25th.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yep.
That is here. Too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough. I was like, come on, Tracy. Thriller came out a long time.
right.
All right, that makes sense. Cool. Glad I was up to date.
Right. So then there's this whole thing. So they're trying to figure out how to solve the issue. And Liz says that Jenna is immune to whiskey and Tracy's afraid of juice, which he's not. It's J-U-I-C-E.
I know, but I'm like, is that the joke?
Well, and I was in the pilot episode. Tracy orders apple juice at the diner they go to and they don't have it. So then he orders a gin and tonic. So clearly he's okay with juice. Just saying.
I'm just saying. I think that's a joke of something deeper. I think I'm just saying it.
He's afraid of juice. Then the open marriage necklace. But then that episode ends and is Tracy still living there? I don't remember how that story ends.
He leaves. He gets his porno and he leaves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's how this episode ends.
It ends with porn stars playing our favorite characters.
That's I was in the AV Club article. He referenced like those are actual porn stars, aren't they?
I didn't have to look it up. I was like, definitely porn stars.
Just
the acting and the look. It was like for perfect sure. Porn star.
They're like, Mom, I have a show of mine you can watch.
My retainer. Whatever will I do for you?
But I also love that that's the way she finally reaches Jenna. Is by Jenna watching the porn stars enact their like apology. And that's when Jenna gets it. Because that's what she needs. That makes sense to her more.
But Jenna loves that her character is hotter. Like, that's how I took it. Was like, you do care.
Right, that's true. Yeah, you gave me the hotter actress.
Because you know that that's true. Important to me.
It's so funny. Also, I was like, the other actress is hot too. I don't know why. Why are we quibbling, Jenna? But yes, they're both hibs. But I just love Liz's face when they start making out because they like hug and they look like, oh.
Yeah, and then Jenna's like,
Yeah, but then Jenna's like into it. Like, I love that she's like, it's like, just hangs a moment too long on Jenna to be like, oh, Jenna like sexually likes this.
Like on another day, Jenna might have just jumped in there.
Yeah,
like, 100%. I can do this better, other Jenna. Oh my goodness.
Oh God.
Just a couple of other random things was that when Tracy was staying at Liz's house, he ordered the Curious Case of Benjamin Butt and I'm a Duas, which is another Amadeus reference from 30 Rock.
I love when you watch a show. Do y'all watch Riverdale? Stay with me. I swear. You watch, do you watch Riverdale?
Haven't. It's been recommended to me. Netflix says, hey, you should watch this.
That show, you can tell, it's really funny. It's a show about teenagers. You can tell the writers are all in their mid to late 30s because they make things like Toni Braxton jokes. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, yeah, high school, like a high school will reference Toni Braxton. I'm always just like, they reference like things from the 80s and 90s. It's one of them, her favy, they made it, I can't even think of it, I watched one yesterday and they made it a reference and I was like, I love the show. But it just, I like when you watch a show and you can tell what the, like when Aaron Sorkin references Roger and Hammerstein, is that correct?
Yeah, the Penzance,
yeah, you could just tell what an author, what the writers are really into because they reference it multiple times. And in this, it's Star Wars and Amadeus. Yeah. Both Mark Hamill properties. Fun fact, Mark Hamill originated the role on Broadway. Interesting. Dumb that he didn't play it in the movie.
You just said something that made me think of this other thing, and I can't remember what it was that you said, so I'm going to say this part anyways. I don't remember why I'm doing this, but somebody tweeted us this morning, Kim Gleason, that we were talking about, because I posted the whole thing about 30 Rock, and she's annoyed that, like, 30 Rock isn't on Netflix anymore, but it still shows up saying, because you watched 30 Rock, and then it references, like, Parks and Rec and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Like, that's so messed up.
Whatever. Netflix, whatever. Just remind us what you've done.
Right. Remember when you used to have us on here?
I think we should just cover the ending where she gets her retainer back. And she's excited because her dad won't be mad at her anymore.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because Jack had to go to D.C. And I just love that. Like,
he's a bit of a superhero.
Yeah. Oh, and you will never know how he got that retainer. Right, like,
but he did it. You just can't question Jack. There were a couple of Frank hats in this, though. He had spaceship owner. And he also had not guilty.
Also a good one. Better hat episode.
Which, did OJ get out of jail this morning? Sorry.
Yeah, is that
this
morning?
Yeah, did he get out? Yeah.
Where do you go when you're OJ? Florida.
Wow.
No, that's where his home is.
Oh, I thought that was orange juice, but orange also, joke.
Yeah. Whoa, Kelsey.
There's oranges in Florida. That's legit what I thought you were making a joke about.
I like
about.
The levels that you took that. No, his home is in Florida. That's where he was living before he got arrested.
That was an orange joke.
That's actually pretty funny, though.
What if he's on my plane on Wednesday? He's probably not flying Frontier.
I don't know. Can he afford other?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's broke. That's like the whole thing.
Damn.
A couple of other just random notes is, I was laughing. This is the second, at least the second time in Jenna's career that she's played a werewolf, because she played it on Night Court.
Oh, Night Court. Sparky Monroe.
Night Court.
And
I love it.
That's the response. Exactly.
I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I can't find anything else. Did you have any favorite lines from this episode, Cassie?
Well, we didn't talk about Kenneth, and
I liked that the dog stuff.
Well, or his, and yeah. I like his first line is like, he's like, Miss Lemon, can I work only 20 hours today?
Yes. Oh, you're right. We totally missed that whole storyline.
I'm doing some volunteer work
with Big Brother. Oh, I did Big Sister. That little girl taught me how to use tampons. Yes.
And then I love later. That was what Tracy, he like brought all the dogs over because Kenneth ended up getting them.
Yeah.
But there's the sign that he puts on, that Kenneth puts on his desk, that says, volunteers needed to adopt dogs. It's God backwards.
It's so good.
Which I think that might have been my favorite line from this whole episode, was that it's God backwards.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a really big fan of the moment where he was like, I'm gonna cut the baby in half. He was like, I will take the top half because it's better because it has the face. Yes. I love that joke so much. I don't know why. Oh God, he's such a weirdo. I also like Jack saying, you weaked it. Whatever. Yes, the things they make that man say are just so delightful.
Yeah.
You did it. You weaked it. And then also Kenneth saying, like my mom said, you can't eat love. And like my mom's friend Ron said, the donkey died, Kenneth. Now you're the donkey.
And suddenly transported to a very dark place.
Very, like, aw. You just always want to, like, give Kenneth a hug.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you want to do.
That's all I got. Did you have anything else?
Yeah. No. I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was very funny. And what a ride.
Right? What a ride.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So, I don't know what the AV guy was complaining about.
I know. Go away, dude.
Moral of the story? AV Club doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding. We love you, but just, you're wrong this once.
But also, you're wrong.
Yes.
Cool. So I think that wraps up this episode.
I think we covered it. Woo.
Cassie, where can people find your podcast, find you on social media, in real life, home address, all that good stuff?
Oh, God, home address. Let's start with that one. Yeah. Listen to the Dumb Nerds podcast. It's also on Boardwalk Audio.
Yeah, Boardwalk Family.
You can also find it on iTunes and all that. All your, whatever you listen to your podcasts on. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Cassie Jerkins.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde on Instagram and Twitter. Don't find me on Facebook. Kimmy, people
you
can
won't
find
be able to, so it's fine.
That's very true.
You can find me at Kimchi Lucas everywhere. It'll be a lot of Insta stories of the Cafe 101 and comedy shows. Because that's what I've been doing lately.
That's what you do.
That's all I do lately. Just recently. No, it's not that interesting. Do whatever you want. And you can find us at Talk30Rock to me. Mm-hmm. You can please tweet at us, Insta message us. Email us at talk30rocktome@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you because we like talking to people because we're social. So, and again, if you rate and review, let us know. We will send you a sticker. They're pretty great.
Yep.
Kelsey did a good job. And come to shows at Thinner Melt. That's all.
Cool, cool.
Or Starburns. I want to support Starburns as well.
I guess. Perfect. We will have Cassie back next week to talk about Stone Mountain.
Ooh.
That does it for Into the Crevasse. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.